But this morning we'd like to draw your attention to Ecclesiastes chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. That which hath been is named already, and it is known that it is man. Neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. Seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better? For who knoweth what is good for man in this life? All the days of his vain life which he spendeth as a shadow. For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? Here the writer first of all talks about contending with he that is mightier than you. Now, growing up as a kid, I always knew better than to pick a fight with someone who was tougher than I was. That's just good sense. You don't go picking on the toughest guy in school if you're going to get into a fight. You don't want to contend with those that are mightier than you are. You usually look for an opponent who is weaker than you are if you're going to get into contentions. And yet, it to me is an amazing thing how many people contend with God. There are many people who are angry with God. Many who become bitter with God. Now, our contending with God usually results from circumstances that arise in our lives that we don't understand. Maybe I've had some really adverse circumstances. A tragedy. I can't understand why this tragedy has happened in my family or in my life. And I begin to challenge God and question God because of this tragedy. Lord, why did you allow this to happen to me? You could have circumvented this. Why am I in this trouble, Lord? Why is this taking place? And I begin to contend with God because of a personal tragedy that I am not able to understand. Maybe I've had a great disappointment. I was hoping to get a promotion that I knew was coming up. And I knew that I was in line for that promotion. But when I get to work Monday, I hear the word that another fellow was promoted into that job. He's not as qualified as I am. That guy's a rank sinner. God, why would you allow him to be promoted? And why didn't you let me? And I'm disappointed because I can't understand the ways of God in my life. And I get bitter with God. I begin to contend with God because I can't understand him. Perhaps I've experienced a deep sorrow. Someone that I love has died or has had a serious illness. And I can't understand why a person as beautiful and wonderful as they are should have to suffer like that. And I begin to challenge God. I begin to contend with God because of the sorrow that I feel over what has happened to them, or the sorrow that I feel over what has happened to me. And out of the depths of my sorrow, I begin to contend with God over the issues of life. And it's amazing how many people, because of these adverse circumstances within their life, begin to contend with God. Actually get angry with God. They quit speaking to God. they get to the place where they even deny the presence of God. And they begin to fight against God. You find a person who is very bitter against God, and you, if you will trace it back, will usually discover that somewhere in their life, they had a very tragic, disappointing experience that they could not understand. And so they turned against God at that time and became bitter and began to deny God because they could not understand the ways of God. But as we read here in verse 10, neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. It has to be the height of folly for a man to contend with God. First of all, how could you possibly hope to win? If you're contending with God, you're in a no-win situation. Secondly, it is folly for me to contend with God because I myself really don't know what is good for me. Now, I think I do. I think that I know what would be best for my life. But as we read in verse 12, who knows what is good for man in this life? And when it comes right down to it, I must confess, I really don't know what is good for me. Is it better that I be rich or I be poor? I don't know. If God should give me riches, would those riches turn my heart and mind away from Him? Would they make me a better servant of God or a lesser servant of God? If God should give me riches, would that create the danger of my beginning to trust in riches and thus find that great difficulty that Jesus said would come to those who trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of heaven? If God should give me riches, would I then be able to withstand the diverse temptations that Paul said come to those that are rich? Would I be able to manage it? Or would my riches turn my heart from God? Would my possessions draw me away from Him? I don't know. Is it good for me that I am in poverty, that I have to just learn to trust God for everything that I have? You see, if I were rich, would I then lose the joy that I experience when God comes through and supplies that need? Would that freshness and that excitement of God's work be lost if I weren't trusting the Lord daily for my provisions? What is good for me? Riches or poverty? One of the wise men in the scripture said, God, give me neither riches nor poverty. Riches that I would say, who is God? Or poverty that I would be tempted to steal. God sort of keep me in a moderate position, sort of in between God, so that I am still trusting in you, still aware of my need of you, still looking to you. What is good for me? Now, I will say this with all honesty. I would rather be a pauper and beg for every bite of bread and have a right on relationship with God than to be the richest man in the world and out of fellowship with God. But what is good for me? God knows what is best for me. I don't. What is good for man? Who knows? Is it good that I have sickness or health? There's a scripture that said, it was good for me that I was afflicted. Paul the Apostle spoke of his infirmity. Because of the abundance of the revelations that were given unto him, there was also given unto him a thorn in the flesh, a minister of Satan to buffet him, lest he be exalted above measure. My desire to be always healthy. My rebellion against any kind of an infirmity, is that keeping me from the abundance of revelations that God would like to bestow upon me? Could I really glory in my weakness that the power of God might be manifested in me? There is a depth of character that it seems can only be developed by suffering. You meet a person who has never had a difficult problem in their life. Meet a person that everything has always just fallen in for them. They've never had to really worry about anything during their entire life period. Everything has been smooth and easy, and you'll find a person who is very shallow in their character. Talk to them, and they'll talk about clothes and fashions and cars, Maseratis, and these kind of things. But they're not deep. They haven't been forced to go deep. Talk to a person who has spent a lot of time in a bed of an affliction, and you're talking with someone that out of the depth of the experience and character that has been developed, you sit there and you're enriched by them, and you go away the better person because you have drunk from the riches of the wells that are deep springs coming forth from their lives that have been forced deep because of suffering. So is it better for me that I be healthy and not experience that necessity of trusting in God and the power of God? Not really knowing what it is to have the power of God revealed in me? Or would it be better that I experience some suffering, some physical affliction, in order that I might learn the grace, the all-sufficient grace for me? I'm asking questions. I'm not offering answers. I don't know what's best for me. I don't pretend to know what's best for me. For who knows what is good for man in this life? Is it better for me that I am famous or that I live in obscurity? Would fame turn my head from God? Would it cause me to become puffed up? Would it ultimately bring me on a pedestal from which I would be destroyed? Or is it better that my life just remain in obscurity and I'm walking in fellowship with God and just have that relationship? I don't know what is best. I don't know what my responses would be to wealth or to health or to prosperity, the fame or whatever. I don't know how I would respond to these things. Who knows what is good for man in this life? Now, somehow we feel that we know what is good. We feel that if God was doing the right thing, he would have made me wealthy, healthy, famous, and beautiful. And when I seem to lack in any of these areas, I start to contend with God. God, why did you put that ugly mole on my shoulder? It's so ugly, you know. It's gross, Lord. I can't stand it. And I'm blaming God for the way I look. God didn't make me beautiful. And I'm angry at God because I'm not as good looking as I feel I should be. I'm angry with God because I don't have the wealth that I would like to have. I'm angry at God because I'm sick. I'm angry at God. I'm contending with the one who is mightier than I am. But how foolish that is. It's only because I presume to know what's best for me. And if God doesn't follow through with what I think is best for me, then I get angry with him. But that's ridiculous. Now, there are many things that I don't know. There are some things that I do know. And what I do know is expressed here when he declares, "For who knoweth what is good for man in this life? All the days of his vain life, which he spends as a shadow." I know that all the days of my vain life are spent as a shadow. Notice, first of all, I know that life is short. It's measured by days, not by years. Now, the older you get, the shorter life becomes. When you're a kid, life seems forever. It seemed to me like an eternity between birthdays and Christmases. It just seemed they were forever in coming. Every year they come more quickly. Boy, the birthdays are zipping by. And life is getting shorter all the time. And the older a person becomes, the more he is aware of the shortness of life. The psalmist said, "Lord, teach me to number my days, that I might incline my heart to wisdom." When Jacob was 130 years old, Joseph brought him in to meet the Pharaoh in Egypt. And Pharaoh said, "Man, how old are you?" And he said, "I've been around for 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of my life." At 130 years, I've only been around a few days. You realize how short life is. If you lived to be as old as Methuselah, life would even seem shorter. There's only one life, it will soon be passed. Life is so short. Secondly, I know that life apart from Jesus Christ is empty. The days of this vain or empty life. This book of Ecclesiastes, in the first part, is involved with the search of Solomon for life. His first conclusion was that life existed in education. That's where life really is, to know, to understand. And so I inclined my heart to wisdom and into understanding until I understood above all my peers. But then he said, "I looked at it and I found that it was empty." I said, "How dies the wise man? Just like the fool. It's emptiness. All of your education, your wisdom, it's empty." So he figured that life must lie in riches. And so he amassed to himself wealth above every other man on the earth. Till one day he looked over his treasures and he could say, "I am the wealthiest man on the face of the earth." And he said, "This too was empty. And so I gave myself to building great monuments, the temple, the palace, the walls around Jerusalem. And I looked at these and they also were empty." And so to fame, and so he began to spread his fame abroad. But also it left an emptiness within. And finally he concluded it must be in pleasure. So I gave myself to mirth and pleasure and so forth. But it too proved to be empty. And his final cry, emptiness, emptiness, everything is empty and frustrating. This empty life. For life apart from God is without real meaning or real purpose. Remember that. For one day you'll come to the confession of that if you don't believe it now. If you pursue your goals to the achieving, once you've achieved that goal, you'll find that it's empty. As Jesus said to the woman at the well, drink of this water, but you'll thirst again. It won't be fulfilling. It won't answer the deep cry within. Life apart from God is empty. It's meaningless. It has no purpose. Finally, I know that life apart from Jesus Christ lacks real substance, for he speaks to it as man spending his empty life as a shadow. A shadow lacks substance. And so your life apart from Jesus Christ will lack in substance. Now, who knows what's good for me during this period that I am here in this empty life that I'm passing as a shadow? What's best for me? Who knows? The whole thing evolves in the next question. For who can tell man what shall be after him under the sun? You see, who can tell you what tomorrow is going to bring? What's going to happen after you, after you're gone? What's going to happen to the estate that you have developed? You've been very careful. You have sacrificed a lot of things in order to make prudent investments. You've put a lot of study and a lot of effort into it. And you've gone without a lot of things, but you've been successful and you've put together now a great estate by all of your sacrifices and careful planning. Now what's going to happen to it? Well, first of all, the government's going to reward you for being so sacrificial and saving, and they're going to move in and take the greater portion of it. That is, if you have a large estate, they'll take up to 70, 80% of it. Great reward for your sacrifice. Congratulations. Uncle Sam appreciates you. But then, what about your kids? They've never had to work for it. It was handed to them on a silver platter. It'll probably totally ruin them. Make bums out of them. They don't appreciate it. And so they go out and they waste it. They spend it because they have no sense of value. They haven't had to sacrifice and save for it. So what's going to happen to you after you're gone? You see, we don't know what's going to take place tomorrow. We don't know what the future holds. And that is why it is so wrong for me to contend with God. Because here is a situation that has developed in my life. I don't understand this. I begin to contend with God. God, why did you allow this to happen to me? God, I don't think you love me. God, and I start giving God all this hassle. Really laying it on him. You really love me. You'd never do this to me, God. And God has to listen to all my griping and all my guff. Because I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Tomorrow dawns. We've gone the full circle. Oh, oh, now I see what God was doing. Oh, all right. Oh, God, I love you. You're so neat, God. Ah, you're all right. You know, you're marvelous. Thank you, Lord. Oh, all the guff he had to go through, though, in the meantime. Because I didn't understand what he was doing. You know, sometimes I think if I were God, I'd just... when people are griping, complaining, because he's wanting to do some good thing for them. Working out a good plan in their life, but I can't see it. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I only know today, and it doesn't feel good now, and so I send up my complaints. When in reality, God is working out the long-range plan for my life, for my good. Who knows what is good for man in this life? I don't know what's really best for me. God knows what's best for me. I don't know what tomorrow holds. God knows what tomorrow holds. I don't know what will be the final consequence of these experiences. God knows what the final consequence is. Recognizing then that life apart from God is empty and without substance. Recognizing that life is so short, recognizing that I don't know what is best for me, and recognizing that I don't know what tomorrow holds, what's the wisest thing I could ever do? Just submit my life and future into the hands of God and say, well, God, you take care of it because I don't know. And just that quiet submission to God and to the work that God is seeking to accomplish in my life is by far the wisest thing I could ever do. Shall we pray? Forgive us, Father, for the conclusions that we have falsely drawn because of our own limited knowledge. God, forgive us for contending with you. Oh God, bring into our lives those things that are necessary for our eternal welfare, for that work that you're seeking and desiring to accomplish in us. Bring to us, Lord, that which you know best. For we desire to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, thy will be done. And may we quietly acquiesce to thy will. In Jesus' name, amen. It could very well be that some of you, as you came to church today, were contending with God. You're bitter. You can't understand the circumstances that have befallen you. You're a little angry with God. Let me encourage you, don't contend with God. Submit yourself completely and fully to him today. Turn your life and the circumstances of your life over into his hands that he might work without hearing all of your complaining and griping. For all things work together for good to those who love God. God knows what's good for me. I don't. So I yield my life and the circumstances of my life to him. God bless you and watch over and keep you. And may he guide you this week into that full, rich life of fellowship with Jesus Christ. In his name.